You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are here for a quickie today. We're going to be talking all about MCAS and PANS and homeopathy, which I realize is kind of a weird thing to have as a quickie, but we wanted to like try and give you something that was big picture overview of PANS, MCAS, and homeopathy, and not going into like a deep dive on MCAS itself. We are joined today at Jody's request by our assistant medical director here at Resilience Naturopathic, Dr. Jason Way, who has had the pleasure of helping support me and Jody through a really pivotal time in your daughter with MCAS and her healing journey. And so we're kind of here to just talk a little bit about what we understand about it, our experiences, and some things that might be important takeaways for people to consider if they're dealing with MCAS and PANS and trying to heal with homeopathy. Yeah. So we should probably start with defining. Well, so first of all, I guess before we even start with defining anything, hi, Dr. Way, welcome. We're so happy to have you here. So we should probably start with defining MCAS. Do you want to do that, Dr. Way?
Yeah. I mean, so MCAS stands for mast cell activation syndrome. There's also mast cell activation disorder, which is kind of like MCAS is nestled within that. And it's usually the mast cells, which are the immune cells responsible for like allergy type reactions, are just over releasing histamine or other mediators, which are just inflammatory molecules that are just triggering, a lot of times it looks like an allergic response. It can be skin, it can be respiratory, it can be redness or other things. But in PANS and PANDAS, obviously we see that inflammation is going the direction that drives a lot of the PANS and PANDAS symptoms.
Yeah. You can see digestive stuff too, urinary symptoms. Like basically your entire body can be impacted. Yeah. Histamine, people don't think about this a lot, but histamine is, we think about it on the allergy side, but it really is a neurotransmitter that affects how we're doing and how we feel. So it can impact rage. It can impact anxiety. It can impact lots of different things when we have too much histamine. I will tell you that like at inpatient psychiatric units, they use antihistamines with almost everybody because of the impact that it can have on agitation specifically. And we all feel it too, right? Like who hasn't taken diphenhydramine or Benadryl and felt like most people, I should say, feel sedated. There's a few people, occasionally people can have a paradoxical reaction and feel the opposite and feel activated from it. But yeah, so MCAS, we're basically seeing lots and lots of degranulation, things that shouldn't be a threat to the body, seen as a threat to the body. And so the body is responding as if everything is trying to attack it. And as a result, it is specifically the mast cells are degranulating at a faster rate than they should or a more intense rate than they should. And the body's being flooded with histamine and you're having all of these downstream effects. And it can be really, really severe. Jody, do you want to tell a little bit about the mom's experience about what MCAS looks like?
Yeah, sure. So I love that I came to Resilience for my older daughter that has PANS. And then once I saw the wildly amazing things that were happening with homeopathy for that, my younger daughter, who I didn't even ever think would have, I didn't think homeopathy would be an option for her. Yeah. But then I saw homeopathy work and I was like, okay, these things aren't the same, but they're also sort of similar. So I love that like we have all been together learning all of this for a long time. Like we haven't just been learning about PANS, we've been learning about mast cell. My younger daughter was born with mast cell disease. We were living in a house with mold at the time and she was born super allergic to everything, like literally everything, couldn't go outside of our home because of heat, was allergic to all food, emotional reactions. She was having masto rage, just every single possible thing in our world was a trigger. And so literally like keeping her still, keeping her in the house, exhausting everything we possibly could to figure out how to feed her. And at the time I didn't know any of this stuff. So it didn't dawn on me that it was just her immune system having like a massive constant freak out. And so I think there's a really, like you said, a wide array of what it can look like. It can be, you know, minimal allergic, more looking for my daughter. It was a systemic, everything, every system in her body was angry and her reactions were kind of slow rolling where it would take weeks for her to roll through a reaction and it would look different at different times. So that's kind of what it looked like for us.
I think you're brushing over some things with a little bit of a smile on your face, that, I'm going to like, just say the truth. Like there were lots of times your child couldn't breathe and you had to go like rush her to the emergency room because she had gotten something in her body that caused a mast cell reaction that she could not breathe. There were like, I don't know how specific beyond that, but like that there were a very limited number of foods that you could safely feed her and not have to worry about whether it was potentially going to put her in the emergency room. So it's not nothing, right? It's a really intense thing. And so when you say that we're learning together, we truly are, because, you know, and truly were, because you came to me and you said, so this is really helping this PANS thing. What do you think about mast cell? And I don't know if you recall, but I said, I don't know. I don't really know much about it. I've never treated it. Let me look into it. I did a little bit of research and I said, okay, from what I understand, this is something homeopathy is likely to be effective for. I have never treated it. Do you hear me again? I've never treated it. Are you sure you want to take this really sick kid and hand her over to me for, and you thankfully did, we agreed that we would do it and as an addition to everything else she was already doing because we needed to keep her safe and try and see what we could do. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we saw early on and then like as the things that we've learned along the way. So I guess we should give the caveat that, you know, we are experts in PANS, not in mast cell activation syndrome, right? So we're not here to be like the definitive podcast episode on mast cell activation syndrome. This is not the be all end all last one you'll ever need to hear. This is homeopathy, MCAS and what we know and the overlap with PANS and MCAS. Okay. So what some of the things that we learned early on, surprisingly, didn't aggravate early on. So just because somebody is really sensitive to everything in their world doesn't mean that they're going to aggravate with homeopathic remedies. That's, I think, a really important thing for people to hear, because early on, she was fine. She was taking a daily dose on, you know, no dilution, nothing, and she was fine. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember one of my biggest concerns was the remedy having any alcohol on it. Cause like we had to be, every time she was in the hospital, there were certain things that we couldn't have in the room because she would have big reactions, and alcohol, like alcohol swabs were one of them.
Yeah.
So I was very concerned about even putting the remedy in her mouth.
Maybe we should pause right there. And like, how were you willing to take something where it was so precarious and give it a try? Like what was your motivation?
We had done everything that every doctor, like, I mean, she had a port. We were doing IV medications. She was in the hospital. She was, at that time, she only had like 5 safe foods. We had traveled within the United States to find medical care for her. Where we live in Texas, we had one doctor that was willing to treat her, and the rest literally told me no. We had done everything, like everything, and everyone, like the two doctors that we had were like, this is where we're at. We're going to maintain this right here. And I think the biggest motivation was this was kind of the second time coming around where if we can't nutritionally sustain her, then we have to move to TPN. And I know that her body wouldn't tolerate the ingredients of TPN because she was reacting to everything. I did everything that we should have and could have done, and it wasn't the answer for her.
Yeah.
And I saw homeopathy work on PANS and suddenly had this understanding of healing instead of just suppressing. And I wanted her, like, I can't imagine her life being like it used to be, because it was horrible. And I just had hope in homeopathy, and I trusted you.
Okay. Well, what we've learned so far, we've learned that they're not always going to aggravate, but aggravations can change and come about later, right? That mm-hmm. At least, and I don't know, Dr. Wei, how many, I don't know if you have an exact number, but you've got more MCAS cases than just the ones that we've
yeah.
together, right?
Yeah.
And so please jump yeah. in and add to any of the things that I'm sharing from our experience here that you want to add, especially if I'm saying something wrong or if there's.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've also seen it where they don't, you know, they handle dry dosing fine, but.
And some do
yeah,
aggravate.
And some do aggravate. So just, you know, not any different than, you know, the rest of the kids that we work with.
Yeah.
That's definitely one. And, you know, the aggravations aren't necessarily going to look like a mast cell reaction either. Perfect. Right. That's so good. Like, that's, I think that's the concern most parents have is like, I don't want to take the remedy and have anaphylaxis happen. That's not necessary. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Like, that's not what an aggravation typically looks like when I've seen them. It's just more of the other symptoms that we're tracking, and agitation and things like that can come up, but not the full blown response.
I would agree. In the MCAS cases that I've had or helped with, that it's generally more of like mental and emotional stuff, not life-threatening, like respiratory stuff that tends to aggravate with remedies. Jody, has that been your experience?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, for us, it was the opposite. Like, it literally, like, packing her up to go to the emergency room, giving her a remedy. And then it takes, like, it got us out of those situations instead yeah. of putting us in. And it was never like full blown scary stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So my experience in cases that I've managed with MCAS is that MCAS tends to move slower, and it's not as much up and down in healing. Would you agree with that, Dr. Wei?
I think it depends. I've definitely seen, I guess one of the things I'm thinking of that I've seen is that when there's still a lot of like instability within like the MCAS reactions to everything like in the world around them, it's more up and down in the beginning sometimes until that gets stabilized, because it's almost like we can't see the response for the remedy through the intensity of those reactions sometimes.
That's fair enough.
It's like, yeah. it's really subtle of like what you're looking for. Of like, we're seeing things like, I can tell we're on the right track with the remedy, but there's still so yeah. many reactions. It's really like from the parent side, it might not feel that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good thing. And I'm really glad that you're here to bring this perspective, because Jody and I both have the perspective of like, MCAS was figured out. We figured out how to keep things stable enough and safe and suppressed, not like, oh, MCAS is erupting. Because that's the thing, is that like MCAS can come on as a result of some of these exposures and triggers that can also cause and trigger PANS. And so we can see some of these kids start to have have PANS and then have MCAS like presentations starting to come about as well. And so it's really the most important thing here is that it's all a part of their underlying susceptibility. It's the same, the susceptibility to this misdirected and atypical immune response that we just have to restore the correction for. But yeah, if you're brand new to it and it's just starting and figuring out the things that that we need to avoid temporarily to keep the fire from raging so that the body can have a chance to heal while we're working on the kindling. Yeah, I could see that there would be a lot more ups and downs. Once you get those things, like the primary triggers identified, it does tend to be a more progressive. Or if you're using medications in addition to it to reduce the histamine degranulation, then it does tend to be more stable and progressive. It takes a bit longer too. Like, the reality is, like, we probably would have had a faster point of resolution and improvement. I mean, we're not fully healed for your daughter yet, Jody, but we would probably be a lot closer or already there if we weren't combating lots of like all the medications and like trying to go super slow. But we also understand that like, if you're trying to stay out of the emergency room, being slow and progressive makes a lot of sense for a lot of people. We just need to be patient and understanding and make those choices for which thing it is that we want. Do we want slow and progressive and more stable over time, but it taking longer, or a lot more up and down? So another thing that I think is that I have seen in, and that Dr. Way and I both saw together as we were managing Jody's case at different points when I was on maternity leave, or not Jody's case, Jody's daughter's case, was that sometimes it doesn't look like a whole lot is happening, but progress is being made that on the surface looks frustratingly slow or minimal, and we want to like search for something that's like bigger, a big wow. But Jody, just go ahead and share what happened when Dr. Way in particular made you stay on a remedy for a lot longer than you liked. And then when I came back from maternity leave and I said, no, we do need to stay. And you're like, oh, I thought I had my person back that would change. And I didn't change.
No, it was opposite. It was opposite because you were making me stay. And I was sort of excited to Dr. Way whenever you went on maternity leave. Cause I'm like, yes, new eyes. He's going to make a change. I just know it. And I like even considered, and I'm a rule follower. Like I do things like I'm supposed to do them. I'm like, I could probably flub this a little bit. And I didn't. But whenever we got in our first follow-up appointment and he said it was the same remedy, I was like, oh my gosh, like there's no freaking way. Because what had been happening, it was like, I don't know, like 3 or so months, maybe 4, we'd been on the same remedy and there was certain, I believe respiratory stuff was better, but behavioral stuff and hyperactivity and something, if I'm remembering all of this correctly, there were other things that had suddenly become problematic to me, which, you know, the life threatening stuff wasn't happening. So, you know, yay for that, but this stuff really sucks. Okay. And it was very, very hard. And I wanted to move away from it so bad. So it was like a kick in the gut when Dr. Way kept me there. And we stayed like that for a while. And I don't remember. Yeah, a really long time. And the whole time I was frustrated and I didn't feel like we were making any progress. And I feel like this applies to both mast cell and PANS. Uh-huh. There can be long stretches where things don't really seem like they're shifting. It doesn't feel like healing's happening. I think it was just with G, it was a lot bigger, a longer period of time. And it was more frustrating to me because it was behavioral stuff. But I was frustrated with both of you, even though I love you both dearly. I was frustrated at the time with you, but things just started to change to where like all of a sudden she was having zero respiratory issues. That was the time when like GI stuff almost completely went away. It was like such an enormous shift in her stability as far as her mast cell stuff after that. And so I'm like, okay, like you guys were right. Whatever was happening in that time where it looked like nothing was happening produced something really amazing on the other side of it. That was like a, did you say 6 or 7 month period where we were?
I think it was like 7 months that we were on the same remedy, maybe varying potencies, but not even like many changes in potency. And like, let's cut to the chase. At the end of that 7 months, you got her port out and you realized like, oh my gosh, this is the longest stretch that we've gone without going to the emergency room. Yeah. And like, and you got the port out because you weren't needing to do IV medications. You weren't needing to access it at home for flushes, or the doctors at the hospital weren't needing to. So clearly there was some really big things happening. And I know Dr. Way has something that a thought from his experience during that time to share as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it with other cases too, but I think I remember at that point, like, was there, there's like a trigger that you found, like there was like a water bottle in the closet with like mold in a bag or something.
Yes.
Or, yeah. And so like in the middle of all that, like you might, you know, I've seen it. I've definitely seen it with other cases where like, we're still doing well, we're still responding to the remedy, but because we had a change in season, there's pollen, there's bug bites, there's mold, there's something that there's these reactions to, that it doesn't, the whole picture is not getting better because there's still some like trigger and some inflammatory pieces going on there, but they're still moving forward in the right direction even through that.
Mm-hmm. And that's an excellent point. I can't tell you how many times in retrospect, a time that felt really frustrating and like nothing was happening, ended up being a huge victory because nothing was happening. Because even once we found out what was preventing things from going substantially better, the fact that we were still seeing like maintained improvements and like even small improvements, that's a huge victory. If you have a known exposure and you're still making progress, it can explain why progress slows, but it's ends up being like a huge victory.
Yeah. Things have been really good ever since then. Like she's like so much of her mast cell, like her GI stuff, her respiratory stuff has been so much more under control. Like that was like a major turning point in her healing.
Well, in the interest of keeping this more on the quickie side, a couple of main points that I have, and then Dr. Wade, I want to see if you've got any main points, and then Jody, for you, anything to offer to mom. So a couple of main points for that I think are important is that with mast cell stuff, we need to remember that you might see, like Jody had, that behavioral stuff, especially if you've got mast cell and PANS, that you might see more of the PANS stuff start to kick up as you are still responding to the remedies for mass, like for the totality of the case. And as long as the mast cell stuff is improving, we're headed in the right direction, because the mast cell stuff is what is going to be the most dangerous for your kid, for their, you know, the most lethal for your children. Right. And so if they can't eat food, if they can't drink water, and if they can't breathe, it doesn't matter that they've got ticks. Like let's have tons of ticks while your kids are breathing and able to eat some food and able to drink water, right? Because some kids, your kid included, had reactions to water, right? And like, that's the most dangerous thing. So we need to focus on that as like a victory, and recognize that the other stuff will come along too, but the body's going to protect itself so that it can stay alive first and foremost before it's going to have those other things. And you're probably going to see the other things get way worse as the mast cell stuff is starting to heal, because it's no longer being suppressed by this higher level, more dangerous condition. So you're probably going to see behavioral stuff get worse. Ticks are probably going to get worse. Sleep stuff might get a little bit worse as the mast cell stuff is starting to improve. And then you're just healing a different layer. Yeah. The other thing is, you're going to have to try taking kids off of some of the medications to see how far they've improved. If that's part of your process, if you want them on medications for the rest of their life, that's fine. No judgment. But if part of your goal is to try and get them off, you're going to have to try before you're ready to try emotionally, because it's going to be scary. The same thing is true with foods. You want your kids to be able to eat anything at any time, anywhere. We're going to have to try foods probably more than you're going to want, but we're not going to go bonkers. We're not going to say, just take them to a birthday party and let them eat whatever they want. We're going to have more intentionality with it, and we're going to focus on healthier foods first. But we are going to have to try foods, and you're going to have to be okay with it and recognize they're probably going to have some symptoms. And those symptoms are useful for making sure that we're getting the full picture that we need in order to help these kids heal so that they don't have these atypical reactions to foods. Those are my two main takeaways that I think are important when you're dealing with MCAS on top of PANS. Anything you want to add, Dr. Wayne?
I mean, I'd say I'm always being really thoughtful and present around like exposures, time of year, like those shifts and those times where things are changing. And like, if there's, you know, I'm not too concerned when I hear there's like a blip, there's like a period during the last month or the last period of like a few weeks before, like since our last call, where things were really rough, but then they settled out and they got better. It's more of like, if the overall trend, are we moving in the right direction or are we not? Like, is it just across the board, everything's not doing well, or like we're seeing shifts, but there's still kind of bumps around those exposures. And then, you know, I think that's one of the things I'm really thoughtful of when MCAS is in the picture.
Trends over time are important in healing with homeopathy in anything, but it's especially important when you're dealing with stuff with triggers, where you're going to have moments, like you said, Dr. Wei, where there's going to be things that are seasonal things or situational things that are going to be a trigger or flare. We still need to look at trends over time and compare it also to previous triggers. All right, Jody, last but not least, anything to offer to parents?
I think I have to toot homeopathy's horn. I'm watching a whole lot of conversations right now in various groups, PANS groups on Facebook, and you know, families trying to figure out, what is this? Is it MCAS? Is it PANS? Is it you know, how do I treat this one? How do I treat that one? And I feel like I just want to hug everybody and tell them about homeopathy and just tell them, It with homeopathy, it doesn't matter. They're not, PANS and mast cell disease aren't the same thing, but there's so many similarities with them. And there's a gray area, and it all goes back to immune system dysfunction. And homeopathy can help, you know, with that dysfunction. It can help the body heal itself. So regardless of whether it's, you know, MCAS on its own or it's PAN and MCAS combined, homeopathy can help by, you know, allowing the body to heal itself. And it literally doesn't matter how severe it is. I don't think I have seen other children more severe than G, but she was pretty darn bad, and she is living a completely different life today than she was before homeopathy. So it can help with the big stuff too.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jody, I am having a moment where I am so sad that you and your family had these complex medical issues from such a young age. And I hate that for your family, and I hate that for your girls. And I'm also like so overwhelmed with what a gift it is to the world because of your heart and the way that you're willing to come and share, because of all of the things that you have tried for your kids, because out of desperation, because both of them reached a point where you'd reached the end of your options, and you didn't give up and you kept looking, and then you stuck around, and you are the person who brings people with you, because you just want to love on everybody and help save all of the kids. So I'm also weirdly grateful because you were the right person to be the mom for these kids, these really complex, medically complex kids, and the right person to share the impact of homeopathy. So thank you. And go ahead.
Thank you. I think there's a lot of me though. There's a whole lot of me because I see other moms helping, you know, going through it and helping in their own way of helping. I heard something yesterday, somebody say that suffering does not come without great joy and purpose on the other side of it. And I believe that for so many people going through it. And now I get to experience the joy part of it, the different kind of joy than what I had before PANS and before really bad mast cell disease. And the purpose part of it sticks with so many of us. And it's just, I love that we're all learning together and that we have providers like you guys that are willing to stick with us through really hard things and really, you know, things that take a while to get through, and you guys love us through it and learn with us and listen to things like PANS and mast cell, which is really huge. And we love you so much for that. So,
but it's not just, I want to make sure that we like acknowledge that the kids too, because we don't want our kids to suffer at all. And the suffering for our kids go through does also lead to substantial joy that they wouldn't have on the other end. I've seen it, and I've not spent that much time in person with your kids, but I've seen it with your kids, like the joy that they find in such simple things that other kids take for granted. And I don't even know if they realize or connect the two, but they do. And it's a really beautiful thing to see. And I know that we all have huge, massive celebrations with some of the like really simple things that, that we never thought would be possible for your kids. So, all right, guys, that's our sort of quickie on MCAS, PANS, and homeopathy. If you've got questions, as always, we want to hear from you about them. And if there's need for a more in-depth talk about MCAS or anything, we can make that happen too. For anybody who's really super curious about it, just let us know. All the contact information for getting in touch with us is in the show notes. So take a look there. Until next time, guys, take care.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.